And welcome to Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. We're year 18 now, I believe. Started in a studio in a barn on the Naramata Bench. And speaking of the bench, and speaking of the Okanagan, I was going to do a repeat of our Vancouver Wine Festival Part 2, as promised. However, a fire, a wildfire, as you well know, broke out in the McDougall Creek area of West Kelowna and absolutely set the Okanagan on fire. Homes were lost, buildings destroyed, entire communities were evacuated, businesses, homes, and the original firefighting team was tripled. They just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger to fight these fires. And then the access to the Okanagan was shut down. People who were heading there for a wine vacation were turned around or rerouted just when these wineries needed those wine vans to show up at their front door. So rather than tell the tale of the Vancouver Wine Festival, I got on the Zoom and I found Kimberly Hundredmark from the Okanagan Wine Festivals and her husband, Jeff Hundredmark, the chief winemaker at Mount Boucherie, Rust Wine Co., Modest Wines, etc., who, of course, are in West Kelowna, very close to that fire. And right next door to Mount Boucherie is the Hatch. And I got a hold of Jason Parks and Devlin Barker from Screaming Frenzy, the Hatch, Crown and Thieves, all right there, right up next to the fire, and asked them about their response, what they their feelings about the and how the community was responding. Then a conversation with my fishing partners, who know everything that's going on in the Okanagan. Mark Filoteau, executive chef and sommelier at Waterfront Bistro in Kelowna. Reese Pender, master of wine and co-owner of Little Farm Wines in the Similkameen. And right across the street from him, John Weber from Orofino. It was information that I needed. And the last interview I did was with my aunt, Joyce Mulligan, who was married to my uncle, Terry Mulligan, who used to walk around Kelowna saying, "I'm the original Terry David Mulligan, he's an imposter." Joyce was in her home in the McDougall Creek area, the literal epicenter of this fire. And she was warned she would have to pack and get ready to evacuate. But she figured out, and someone let her know that, her house was in very close proximity to a brand new multi-million dollar water treatment plant. And they weren't going to let that plant go down without a fight. And so the houses surrounding it would benefit from that attention to detail. The plant survived. Joyce's house survived. And Joyce is a survivor, and she's going home. I found her at her daughter Gail's house in Revelstoke. This is an update and a primer on what's going on in the Okanagan. While we were doing the interviews, the Okanagan was shut down. By now, doors are open again. Highways are open. They're open for business. And every one of those wineries in the Okanagan has said in their tasting room, if you come and taste, we will take a dollar from that taste and hand it off to the Red Cross or Mamas for Mamas or whatever organizations they feel that can help best. Everybody's helping everybody. You can help as well. Buy local. Buy BC. Buy BC wine. And if you were heading for the Okanagan and you had to change your plans, consider going, will you? If you can, take the time, head for the Okanagan and support those businesses. Thank you. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mount Boucherie in West Kelowna. As everyone tries to move forward, Mount Boucherie wants to offer up their hospitality and keep their doors open to the community. The wine shop will be open daily from 10:30 a.m. to 7 p.m. Tastings will be available by donation, with all proceeds going directly to the Mamas for Mamas response support efforts. And finally, they ask that when you consider purchasing wine in the coming weeks, to purchase directly from your favorite Okanagan producers. Details at mountboucherie.com. My name is Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. It's been that kind of day, friends. Jeff and Kimberly Hundredmark have just walked in to their home.
Yay.
In West Kelowna. When did you leave the home? When were you asked to leave the home?
Friday.
No idea.
Friday. They took the evacuation down on Saturday, but we were pretty, we had our own little community village down in Oliver at the parent company of Mount Boucherie at Rust Wine Co. So there were 13 of us, as we would we call ourselves, the evacuees.
Camp Rust.
Camp Rust, yeah.
I like that.
And yeah, it was It was a beautiful experience, to be honest, in the light of everything. It was wonderful, young people, old people, little people. We had big communal dinners. It was lovely, but we felt it was important to come home now that we were able to, so to support our people here in the area.
Jeff Hundermark, was there any time when you thought that Mount Bushiri or your home was in trouble?
Probably, yeah, for the first 48 hours. We had kind of left an inferno here. We could see it from the end of our street, but it wasn't, I mean, it wasn't anywhere close to our house, so to speak, but it was visible from the end of our street, and it was kind of we're hearing about these embers flying across the lake and starting fires in Kelowna. You think about everybody's rooftops and our patio furniture. Oh, maybe an ember is going to fall on there and start a fire. So, no idea for our house, because we were pretty close to everything. Mount Bushiri was probably 1.5 kilometers, 2 kilometers away, maybe from the fire line.
That's close.
Definitely,
That's close. That's close enough.
yeah, definitely was. Yeah, we're obviously at the time of year we're getting ready for bottling and not bottling, sorry, getting ready for harvest. And we've been pretty blessed with a fairly smoke-free environment on our Kelowna properties. In the Similkameen, it was pretty bad early on. It still is kind of bad right now with the fires going on there. But we were looking at ourselves going, okay, we're gonna have some great rosé up in West Kelowna. We're gonna still have some great rosés, but it's gonna be faster than I think. I think we're gonna have to probably take those grapes by the end of the week if we can get
Sure.
some fresh water.
Good Lord. How long did it take you to pack and go?
We started to pack the day prior to get our
Sure.
kind of our go our escape pod ready, as we call it, the RV, to get it ready. And that was about, well, probably the day before we were kind of ready to go. It was a matter of hooking up the truck and going.
Kimberly, were you hearing at that time from wineries that you work with?
Everyone was affected very quickly in the community. The network, as it is, really responded quickly with the, for the health and safety of their workers, but also of visitors. So, I mean, Jeff was at the winery Friday morning at really early, putting barricades up and stuff and messaging, and then all the wineries. Particularly the West Side Wine Trail, it was, I would say, a combined effort, really.
Everybody
Everybody came together.
shut down. Everybody, well, I
Messaging.
think the message across the entire area was, let's keep as many people off the road as possible. Let's not encourage customers to come to the wineries. Let's not encourage our staff to come in. We shut everything down completely,
And all the
and on
neighbors.
all the wineries around us did as
Yeah.
well. So it was, I think it really, we did our little part to help the cause, I guess.
And Kimberly, that begs the question. They've shut down entrance into the Okanagan. Fine, that will come back. We know that. That the responders will do what responders do, and they'll eventually get a handle on this, and a sort of new normalcy will show up. In the meantime, you and your team have wine festivals for the fall. How do you balance what the government and the responders are saying to your welcoming people back? How are you going to handle that?
Well, I'm really lucky in that I'm on the board of directors for Tourism Kelowna, and I work really closely with the bigger tourism destination piece of what goes on as far as travel and programming. And I feel like we have a little bit of a inside scoop, I guess, on what the planning is for the whole valley. So right now because our festivals aren't until the end of October, beginning of November, we're very hopeful that this is all going to clear up. I mean, we've seen that before. We've ride these, incredible fire storms, and then, within a month, it's sort of back to normal. And we're really happy see here too that any of our partnering wineries in Lake Country or Westside were not affected, with the exception of Niche. But the winery itself is safe. They lost a tool shed, and that's the worst of it. So
as far as we know,
they're still evacuated from
you know
their
what?
Property. But we've heard.
You guys have a grapevine. You have a very quick grapevine from farm to farm, and you know if you've lost a vineyard, if you've lost a winery, you would know that right away.
Exactly.
I think you might have dodged a bullet on this one. It could have been much worse.
Well, you know what? I mean, the firefighters and the work that they've been doing from north to south, and all the captains coming together. I mean, it's this incredible. I've got goosebumps. Listening to the press conferences every day, and
I
each of them
today,
telling their story, but their collective stories as well. It just gives me hope that, you know, there is humanity out there, and people will do what needs to be done, because it's the right thing to do. I mean, these guys were doing it not knowing if they had their own homes to go back to. So it's been.
I've got a guy on my
on
my team that's it's a fireman. He's an auxiliary fireman, and he's been going out since I guess Friday, and he's been on doing whatever they do.
It's almost impossible for any of them to take us with them. They go and they come back, but they can't take us where they go, you know, and you can only imagine what it's like, the hell that they walk into, and they gladly walk into it. It's crazy. Jeff, those two words pop up again, smoke taint.
Sorry, what?
Smoke taint.
I've heard about it. It's Australia or some other place has that, right?
My goodness.
I mean, it's early-ish. I mean, I was fortunate to be
living
in a vineyard. So I was able to walk the vineyards every day and keep my mind on the business at hand. Talking with our vineyard manager, and it's still fairly early. I mean, we've got some grapes that are getting close to be ready to be picked.
Okay.
Luckily, those are the grapes that are not going to spend a lot of time on skins, you know, the Gewurztraminers and the Pinot Noirs and that sort of thing. We can definitely get those pressed off really quickly and not deal with smoke effect in the wine. The later varieties, depending on what happens in the next couple of days. I mean, as we started up here, we arrived home to thunder and lightning and the rain starting. So who knows? The rain could blow the smoke out or not tamp the smoke down, and we just have to deal with ash after that. And,
okay,
you know, it could be great.
Okay, okay.
Could also be not so great.
The eternal optimist here.
How best can we help? In that press conference today with the fire chiefs, they were all saying, we don't need any more food. We've got lots of food. Now we have a food problem. How best to help? Besides Red Cross, what else? What would you suggest?
Well, we're both actually, we're working with the team at Boucherie, and I know Chef is looking at how best to support the food banks and some of the residential programs that have come to life at like Prospera Place, and how to displace some of
it's
hard to know.
It's not just the firefighters. There's been a lot of evacuees. There's people that don't have homes to go back to, and they're in shelters, or they're, you know, staying at visitors' houses, or, you know, like we were camping out somewhere. Food banks, obviously, you know, there are some. I mean, I'm trying to keep up with all the organizations that have been sort of popped up and have been existing. Mm-hmm. The best thing to do probably is for people to contact the, you know, the local area food bank, the local, you know.
Well, government, for sure.
You know, check the BC Wildfire websites. I think probably the best thing that people can do outside the area maybe is to order wine online and keep ordering,
Yes,
please,
yes, yes,
because
and
we're not open and we're
yes,
losing money every single
yes,
day. So,
and buy local.
and you know,
Buy local.
and September is a beautiful time to visit the Okanagan. So please come back for September and October for the festival. We'd love to welcome everybody back at such a beautiful time and, you know, just adjust our plans as needed. And just, I think to really be aware of your community and the people in your community, and maybe if they're not even in your community, just be aware that there are people right now that are struggling and it's not business as usual. It's just, we need to be patient and kind. Please be kind.
Cheers.
Cheers, man.
Thank you for
Take
doing
care.
this. Unpack. Enjoy.
We will.
I'll
I'm gonna
leave you
go cook.
alone. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you. Be well.
This special segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Okanagan Wine Festivals. It's important that you know that the Okanagan is open for business again. Starting with the Winemakers Harvest Dinner on September the 2nd, the calendar of events that you see on their website is all going to happen. Fall wine flights, local bites, the 10th anniversary celebration dinner, Similkameen Sizzle Fest, Italian wines of the Okanagan, and the Okanagan Fall Wine Festival will happen October the 27th through November the 5th. You can help the wineries of the Okanagan by buying local. Buy BC. You can find all the details at thewinefestivals.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Moon Cursor Winery in the Soyuz. There are several very important pieces of information that you should have. They are open for business. Tourists and wine fans are welcome back to the Okanagan Valley. And if you can't visit, order wine online. And by all means, buy BC. Moon Cursor was included in the top 10 small wineries and the top 25 wineries in Canada. You can find details and contact information at mooncursor.com. Hello, friends. I'm Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Room Radio. I'm assuming that you've read your newspapers or you've watched television or you've been online and you understand that a thunderous fire just came over a ridge overlooking Kelowna and Okanagan Lake, and it looked like something from a film that somebody had set up in a special effects studio. You make it as noisy and as glaring and as threatening as possible, and that's what we watched over the weekend. I have Jason Parks from Jason Parks Customs and from Black Swift, Crown of Thieves, The Hatch. Great friend. And I found you. Where have I found you? Oh, you came to the office, didn't you?
I did.
All right. First of all, are you okay? Your family okay?
Yeah, we're all fine.
Okay.
We're fine. Yeah.
The house is still standing?
House is still standing. It's
I
very
thought,
smoky,
you
but
know, I thought
house is
about
fine.
that. I thought about the, thought about that house on the top of that hill. I thought, oh my God, there's no hiding.
No, we're pretty far away from it. We didn't even get a notice, but it was still pretty dramatic seeing it all from there and with the kids and everything. So, yeah.
And what kind of notice and what kind of warning did you have?
I didn't get one, Terry. I didn't get a notice. I'm not sure how they received it. A lot of employees have been evacuated. We've had a couple employees at Trader's Cove that actually lost their home, so had to leave the area. So every day it's different, every hour is different. We just got to be there to support them and do what we can to help them feel supported and safe.
You've been dealing with fires over the last couple of years, as we all know, and smoke taint and whatever, but this was different. What made it different?
I think just how close it was and how connected it was. All the fires, we all feel all of them, if whether they're in Oliver or the other side of the lake back in, many years ago, Okanagan Lake Park. So it was just right there. And for us as a team, you got your families and everything, and you take care of your family. But when you've got a large team like we do with, 130 employees, there's a lot of emotion and a lot of energy that goes into that, right? So it's just a little heavier.
The vineyard's intact.
Everything's fine in the vineyards. And that's, to be honest with you, it's not the yeah, it's not the first thing on our minds right now,
Of
but
course.
all of our vineyards are fine. It's a funny story. We actually had our vineyard team at one of the vineyards just making sure to run some water, before an evacuation. And instead of doing that, they took a bunch of hoses and brought it over to the neighbors' yards to help them. And that's kind of been the energy, not just with us, but with a lot of people in the community helping each other out. Do you hear about these frontline workers and what they're putting into it? It's incredible. Like, They're very compassionate and empathetic out there taking care. I've heard a lot of stories of what they're doing.
Were you able to help them out?
Well, we give them non-alcoholic beer on site. It's nice and chilled. They can come for a real one when they're done on the house.
Yeah.
We've given out a lot of food. We've sent meals to the frontline workers and to the evacuation centers. We've given away the world's greatest hot dogs cooked by me. They were fantastic. Actually, they weren't that good, but everyone said they loved them. Made me feel good about my hot dog skills.
Nobody's going to argue. Yeah.
No one argued. I got some hugs, actually. It was great. And we opened up the Hatching Post that day and just the brewery that we have. And we fed people and gave them beer as cheap as possible. When I wasn't looking, I'm sure they were free. So we did what we could there just to give people a place to get away. And it was a really, I didn't expect that many people to come, but it was full all day. And there was kids making signs, and some people would just sit there. Some elderly people would just sit there for the whole day just to be around and listen to the energy, and made me feel pretty good.
I have Jason Parks from Jason Parks Customs and from Black Swift, Crown of Thieves, The Hatch, all of those wineries located in West Kelowna. And Jason is about to be joined by his wingman, Devlin Barker. I'm being asked how people can help. I do know that they don't need any more food at the fire center. They're apparently the swamped in food. They said, thank you very much, but it's now far too much.
They're gaining weight, that's sweating it. Yeah.
Is there a service of some kind that people can donate to?
Do you guys know of anything directly that people can go to right away that is a direct help?
I think we've been dealing directly with the Red Cross, and the Salvation Army,
of course,
and United Way. Those are kind of the three, directly with some of our more local organizations.
How about you and your family and your home? And
yeah, no, we're all good. I live downtown, just outside of the evacuation alert area. But my grandma was home alone, up in East Kelowna. So I went to go stay with her. And then we actually kind of had a little bit of a impromptu evacuation center for some family and friends that were evacuated out of Glenmore once the fire jumped the lake. So that was an interesting weekend, but we'll echo the sentiments of Jason. When the community comes together, it's a pretty special experience.
I don't know if you've had a chance to see the news stories, the coverage from across Canada, people who aren't in the Okanagan, but have visited and they know how beautiful it is. They're shocked at the sights that they're seeing over and over and over again on their screens. How long do you think it'll take to return to normal? Do you think? What does it feel like?
It feels like things are maybe headed in the right direction. There's some more positive news coming out from these briefings now, but there's still a ton of work to be done. You can tell that by the amount of people that they're bringing in to help. You know, this special Canada First unit or whatever that they brought in from Vancouver, those guys sound pretty legit with the work they're doing. And we're starting to actually get some reports and numbers now of homes lost and things. So I hope we're headed in the right direction.
Homes can be rebuilt. You can't replace family.
Yeah.
Okay, Devin, thank you so much. Devin Barker, Jason Parks. Any words to your fans, friends, loved ones, friends of the Hatch?
Just to keep taking care of themselves and their families, and we're here for them to say cheers when it's all done, and we love them all, and thinking about everybody. And we truly mean that. We're going to do everything we can to help. And Lord knows, everyone in the wine industry knows that the wine industry is not the most lucrative business to get into, but we will do everything that we possibly can to help people. And speaking of such, I've been hit up with a couple rockers that you know about, Mr. Todd Kearns, Aaron Pritchett. People are hitting me up, and there's a few other names, but they're bigger names, and I'm scared to say them out loud in case I don't know if they're real yet. But it's people hitting me up that want to help in some kind of charity thing. So I'll be knocking on your door, Frank. Yeah, so your good rocking tonight days are coming.
You know what?
Back.
You know what? That's a great idea. That is a fabulous idea. And it has to be. It has to be impromptu. You can't plan.
Yeah.
It. You just got to say, here's the night. Here's the day. This is the
Let's
spot.
Let's do it.
You're either there or you're not. This is what you're going to miss. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Let me know if I can help in the asks.
I will. I'll be calling you right after this interview.
Thank you, buddy.
Right on, man.
Thank you, Devlin Barker. And thank you, Jason Parks. Thank you so much, everybody at The Hatch. Thank you, buddy.
You're welcome.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Moon Cursor Winery in Osoyoos. There are several very important pieces of information that you should have. They are open for business. Tourists and wine fans are welcome back to the Okanagan Valley. And if you can't visit, order wine online. And by all means, buy BC. Moon Cursor was included in the top 10 small wineries and the top 25 wineries in Canada. You can find details and contact information at mooncursor.com. This special segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Even though they're well removed from the fires in the Okanagan, Unsworth still is part of the winemaking community in Canada. They ask, if you're buying wines, that you consider Buy BC. Help these wineries get through this growing season. And you'll find if you go to the websites that most of these wineries are donating to local charities, helping the cleanup of the Okanagan fires and supporting communities that support the first responders. You can either visit Unsworth or find them online at unsworthvineyards.com. This is Tasting Room Radio. When I was sitting thinking, well, what story are we going to tell this week? And I was looking at actually doing some repeats of the Vancouver Wine Festival so I could take a couple of weeks off. And that wasn't to be when all of a sudden the story came out of the Okanagan that it was on fire, especially West Kelowna, and then Kelowna. And so I needed some boots on the ground, some voices, some eyes and ears of people who live there. Mark Filito is the executive chef and sommelier at Waterfront Restaurant. Mark is actually giving us the outdoor shot here, the real outdoor shot. Reese Pender, master of wine and co-owner, co-founder of Little Farm Winery in the Similkameen, has a springtime shot of his vineyards behind him for those of you watching on YouTube. And John Weber from Orofino. Hello, John.
Hi, Terry.
Thank you for the vineyard shot.
Can't see my vineyard right now.
We, by the way, there will be some patter here because we are fishing partners, and we talk fishing and fires, I suppose. Thank you, Mark, for actually being outside so we can check the air. What was the term you used just before we started? It's grittier. Or wasn't so?
Less coarse. Less
coarse.
Yeah.
Particulates.
Yes.
Tell me what you could see from where you were. Could you see that the outline of that profile of that fire coming over the ridge?
It was pretty surreal. I mean, I was working Thursday night. You know, it was all over the news. It had reached, basically it had skipped over the lake and started another fire in the Clifton area.
Yeah.
So I went home, and on the way home, I stopped at a beach beside the Manteo Resort and just saw like exactly firsthand what was happening. Then I got home and I grabbed a tolly and put it in one of those Aussie chillas, you know, like the styrofoam sleeve.
Keep the beer stubby cold. Stubby holder.
Yeah, and took a walk to Sarson's Beach, and it was just apocalyptic. You could see the clouds because the fire made enough light. You could see the clouds and all the smoke, how it was moving like in a straight line straight across the lake. And you could see the wind whipping up the fire as it breached certain ridges. And then when you saw the wind change, you saw the fire move in a different direction. So it was very like 2003, which the fire was behind me and affected my house, and I was evacuated. So I sort of felt that sort of PTSD, angst, surreal. And there was somebody playing a violin on the beach.
Oh, geez.
It was like 2:30 in the morning, and there's a dozen people there, and someone's playing a violin. So it made it even more spooky, surreal. And I'm sure I caught a little bit of Morrissey in one of the songs that person was playing, which brought a strange smile to my face.
Well, Rome burns. Reese, where were you on those nights when it was raging?
Yeah, well, I was just coming home from the vineyard where it was smoky from the other fire, which is what one of the other fires down in Cathedral, where we've been together at one point. And Laura called me. She's like, you know, you should come and check this out. There's a fire starting across here. So we actually went to our friend's house who live on Manhattan Point, which is kind of behind Mark's restaurant there. So right on the lake. And basically, again, watched in awe as this fire started as a few plumes of smoke up on the ridge, came over the ridge, and then just proceeded to move along the lake. And we were taking photos, and I've got like photos, and it looks like, you know, the fire's moved so far. And then you check the time, and it was like 3 minutes between, you know, shots. And we watched it go all the way down so you could see houses burning at Traders Cove, in and around there. Someone had big binoculars, and you could like see houses. We could hear propane tanks exploding across the lake as it hit some other houses up in that area. And it was just ridiculous. And yeah, like Mark, I remember 2003, I wasn't evacuated. I was in Peachland at the time and sitting on the beach looking over the lake again at Okanagan Mountain Park. And yeah, it's just a very surreal, everyone's just quiet. No one knows what to say or do. And it's just that display of Mother Nature that just, you know, you just don't know what to do or say. And it's awe-inspiring and terrifying.
I tell you what came at me besides just the profile, the outline. I'm once removed from you guys, so I'm seeing it from iPhones and screens. Was the sound, because I'm a sound guy. There was a roar from it that I hadn't ever heard before from a fire like that. It was like, that's how close it was, and that's how, I guess the microphones on the phones are getting better, but it was the sound that got my attention. I was like, what the hell is this? Mm-hmm. It's just the noise of it coming at you.
Yeah. There were a few times it sounded like thunder. And then the propane exploding was very weird. And then, it was this sort of deep rumbling, thunder-like sound for part of it. And then, like Mark said, when it jumped over the lake, we went home and you know, we're not on evacuation alert yet, but I think the line's about 800 meters from my house right now. But yeah.
John, you had your own things to worry about in the Similkameen, but what were you hearing? Were you calling your friends up that way? What was going on?
Well, the first fire down here, the Crater Lake one, that's up near the Ashnola, up, and then went up into the cathedral area, like Reese had mentioned. That's been burning for weeks. They had not done any kind of control to it at all. And it actually met up with another one and all of a sudden went crazy. And that fire is still going. It's basically run into the fire line that burnt in 2018.
Ooh,
so
bugger.
Which is not creates some sort of safety for us because there's nothing else to burn there.
Yeah, that's true.
So anything going down towards Carameas Highway 3 area is fairly safe because all of the fuel had been burnt in 2018. I believe it's like four times the size of the McDougal fire one. It's a huge, huge fire. And it's now burnt into the States and is kind of moving southwest, which there's not a lot of structures there and it's just forest. So the attention was swiftly moved to the McDougal area, and rightly so. So that's kind of where we're at with that one. And then the other one is the one that happened up by Twin Lakes, which started after a house fire. House burnt down and basically turned the whole region into 1,000-hectare wildfire. And so that's burning up near Twin Lakes. And there's been evacuations up there, of course. And it's apparently it's in pretty good shape now, though. So there's a lot less worry up there. But there's so where I'm actually where we're situated, there's fires on either side of us, which is pretty crazy. And I have a screenshot here. I'm not so sure you can get this, but that's from the winery right there. That's overlooking real fire, the smaller fire. That's the first day it kind of blew up, and it was pretty impressive plume of smoke. So yeah, that's where. So and right now we're currently at, like, they did some burning and some prescribed burning, and we have a really strong layer of smoke surrounding everybody here. But there is also a sense of that maybe we've turned a bit of a corner, just waiting for it to
clear up. Well, let's get back to Kelowna for a second with Mark. It doesn't feel like you've turned a corner, Mark, but you have better weather, better winds today, and some rain coming.
Yeah, that's the forecast. But I think we did turn a corner yesterday, and Saturday when it calmed down, and then they started, you know, doing some press conferences and releasing how many homes burnt, and I believe the count is at 50 on the west side, and then 5 in Kelowna, between Kelowna Lake Country, because there's actually 2 fires. There's one in the Clifton Wilden area, and then north in Okanagan Center. So I don't know that many structures are threatened in the Kelowna area anymore. They've done a really good job of protecting that, and they're building fire lines to further protect that infrastructure. The garbage dump caught fire, which is pretty interesting. But I think that's where it went up over the hill in the direction of the dump, and then burned a few houses on the way. And then, so they also evacuated the UBC.
So what was that word you used again at the top?
Less coarse. Less
coarse.
Yeah.
The dump.
Coarse
would do
particulates.
That. The dump. The dump would do that.
Yeah, well, I think it was. I think it's like the fertilizer. They have the big. Man. Sort of biomass, you know, all the wood chips and things.
I don't want to breathe any of that stuff. All right, let me take a break here. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. We'll be right back. This special segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Even though they're well removed from the fires in the Okanagan, Unsworth still is part of the winemaking community in Canada. They ask, if you're buying wines, that you consider Buy BC. Help these wineries get through this growing season. And you'll find if you go to the websites that most of these wineries are donating to local charities, helping the cleanup of the Okanagan fires and supporting communities that support the first responders. You can either visit Unsworth or find them online at unsworthvineyards.com. This special segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. It's been a difficult week for so many in the Okanagan. Our hearts go out to everyone who's been affected by the devastating wildfires. And we want to extend our profound and heartfelt gratitude to the courageous firefighters who've been working tirelessly to protect lives and homes. To show our support, Hillside will be donating 15% of all online sales and 100% of tasting fees to United Way British Columbia from now through August 31st. Our wine shop is open daily from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. for those who are able to visit. We look forward to welcoming you back safely. Details at hillsidewinery.ca. He's Reese Bender, that's John Weber, that's Mark Filoteau. We're talking about what everybody's talking about, the fires in the Okanagan, specifically West Kelowna. Did anyone hear of any wineries being lost, vineyards being lost?
Well, you guys know Annabelle, so Coyote Vineyard, that spearhead used in West Kelowna. So she was leaving, and she shot a shot out of the back of her Airstream, and the vineyard was green. And I guess she got to go back to her house, and her house is still standing. So I don't know exactly where her vineyard is, but it's in West Kelowna up there. And that was a single vineyard Pinot from Spearhead that was used, that vineyard.
Reese, anything?
I haven't really heard anything, but to be honest, I've kind of avoided being on any social media because it's all very bloody depressing. Yeah. And it's a small crop for most people if they have any at all. Now you've got smoke taint, a big, you know, it's just all, it's sad.
Farming is hard. And we live in an area where there's always been forest fires. The problem now is that, like, in an agricultural community like Caramias Costin, peach harvest is still going on. Like, they're picking apples and in these coarse particulates. It's difficult for them, but it's continuing on. So like I had mentioned earlier, this fire down here had been burning for a few weeks, and it was a very small, like 1 hectare, 2 hectare, 10 hectares. I'm not so sure, but nothing gets done. And there's a reason for that, right? They're like, it's healthy for fires, for forests to burn. But there's also a certain point where, and this is the second time our situation here in our valley's happened in the last 5 years, because pretty much the exact same thing happened in 2018. And it burns and burns and burns, and nothing gets done, and then it explodes. And then it's all of a sudden emergency, evacuations, structures get destroyed, and livelihoods get destroyed as well. So I feel for like the ag, and I see it from the agricultural point of view, because I live in an agricultural based community, and all of my neighbors farm. The repercussions of leaving fires until they get to this point is significant for us, even though there's not thousands of houses that are in jeopardy. It's yeah. still just as crucial to protect our area. So I'm not so sure if it's a matter of changing how firefighting is looked at, but I would like to entertain that conversation, I guess. I'm no expert, but I'd like that conversation to happen.
Mark, I'm coming to you in a second. Reese, you want to answer?
Yeah, I think, John, that's a good point. And I know they sometimes, like you say, it's a natural part, and they leave it to happen naturally, but then all of a sudden it kind of can blow out of proportion, right? And we know after the initial fires that they, you know, hadn't maintained the fire breaks and all that kind of stuff. And I feel like they've been better at that in the last few years. But, you know, when it's jumping hundreds of feet in flame at a time, it, you know, that's not going to do that much, right? And I think the other thing too is, like, we tend to focus in BC here on the fires here, but this is not just a BC and Canada problem. This is like all over the world, right? There's fires in Chile, in Australia, in Greece, in like just so many different wine producing parts of the world, you know, California, Oregon, Washington, obviously, like all the time. And so this is going to be a massive thing, and it is a massive thing that the world is looking at and dealing with in terms of protection and what to do if you do have smoke in the wines and things like that, right? So it's a global issue.
Yeah, we could have that conversation all over the world. Mark, I know that travel has been banned to the area, and who knows how the wine buying public will respond after it says, okay, you can come back. Can you stay open? Is there local support? Do you think you can?
We're closed right now, and I don't know when we're going to reopen. So it's a bit of a stressful scenario. It's unfortunate because it's basically this fire has killed hospitality after a soft summer period. It's killed it a little early. So it'll be very interesting. I'm sure there's going to be some local support, but it's a fine balance between opening as a service to and keeping your employees in work, like working, but actually having enough people to make it like balance out coming through the front door.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean, no staff member lost any property or anything, but I know there's other staff members of other restaurants that lost everything. So I don't have a lot to complain about.
I have one bright side of it. If you have any wines that you suspect has a little bit of smoke taint, it's a great time to drink them because you couldn't tell the difference now anyway with everything. Everything tastes like smoke. So just crack those open this week, enjoy them, and yeah.
I thank you for your time and your friendship. I appreciate it very much. Oh, there is one final question. Do you want to suggest where, because people are contacting me saying, how can we help? Well, don't send food. They've got food. Don't worry about that. How can people help? I know the Red Cross is always front of mind. Anybody else?
Yeah, I would suggest Buy BC.
Buy BC.
Buy
Wonderful.
BC wine, Buy BC food, support local
yep.
restaurants.
Yeah.
There's never been a better time
okay.
to open a bottle of BC wine.
Reese?
Yeah, support locally grown and made stuff. You look at like Mark's restaurant, it's a restaurant, but he's one of the main buyers of, you know, farmed stuff in BC, wine, food, everything. And yeah, everyone needs that help. And it's been a very hard year on farming and wine and tourism and hospitality. And yeah, it's got to support it.
Okay. Mark, last word to you. God help us.
Yes, support your neighbors.
Yep.
For sure.
Thank you
all. Let's go.
Thank you all. I'm glad that you're safe and well. Really am. Thank you. Talk to you soon.
All right.
Thank you.
Ciao. See you guys. Good to chat.
Normally, Chef Mark Filoteau, Master of Wine Reese Pender, and winery owner and winemaker John Weber from Orofino will take my phone calls because it means we're going fishing or we're going to talk about going fishing. But this is a completely different situation here. Just talking about the fires surrounding them. John in Similkameen, Reese in the Similkameen in Kelowna, and Mark Filoteau in downtown Kelowna. I thank them for their time and their consideration, and I really thank them for their opinions. This is Tasting Room Radio, now a very special guest. My name is Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. This is an aside from the other interviews that I've done, but I became keenly aware of what was going on in Kelowna and West Kelowna in particular because of my relationship with Hatch and with Mark Filoteau, his restaurant, and with Mount Boucherie and the Wine Festival Society. That's why I talked to those folks. However, the first story that I wanted to know about was my aunt, Joyce Mulligan, lives in close proximity to the new water pump station. Is your area, Joyce, called McLean Creek?
McDougal Creek.
I know that you left your home. You were asked to leave your home, evacuated, and you went to a friend's house in Kelowna. You are now in Revelstoke?
That's right. And it's beautiful here.
Well, have you been cleared to go home?
Not as yet. Many areas have been, but Bartley Road is still on evacuation.
Mm.
And they're still working on fires just above where I live, probably about 5K or less. It's just at the top of the road, really. And so they're just making sure that everything's out, I guess. I'm hoping soon to be notified that I can go back home. But the thing is, I'm so grateful that I have a home.
True. True. Yeah. I mean, how close did it come to your place? Have your neighbors told you? Have somebody, anybody told you?
It was coming down the, my neighbor, Jerry Schlosser, Jerry and Kathleen Schlosser, live at the very top. There's a winery up there. And the fire was coming down. It was starting to come down their hill right behind their house. So that's when we got the evacuation.
Yeah.
And so, fire trucks were going up, and there was quite a lot of excitement going up the road. Anyhow, I do believe that one of the reasons that we were saved is because they gave us extra protection with because of the water treatment plant that's being built there. It's not quite finished, but it's most important. It's really important thing. And I can see it from where I live. It's hardly any distance. I could run down there. So because they were looking after that, they were also looking after our houses.
Proximity. The word proximity comes to mind. I like that a lot. I think everybody can identify with this. When you were told that you may be evacuated, there may be a situation where you have to get out, you're sitting there, you look around, you have to decide what you take with you and what's left behind. What's that feel like?
I'll tell you, the first thing that crosses my mind is my bicycle, my Cervella bicycle that I prize more than anything, and all my bike gear has to be complete. I can't go anywhere without that. And so that's the main thing. Then after that, it's the passport and the, maybe cash that I have loose or... insurance papers, maybe something like that. I've got those, and then just put whatever clothes I can think of that I might need. Then I'm looking around. I'm almost ready to go, and I thought, I got to take the pictures off the wall. Some of those treasures.
Yep.
One of them has a picture of you on it.
Well, I'm not the treasure, but I bet I'm standing beside somebody who is the treasure. Yes. Okay. So you're waiting to go home. Your home is there. So you've dodged that bullet. Will you stay? Will you stay in that place?
I think so. I love my neighborhood. I love my neighbors. I love my house. And I can manage it so far so good. I'm 89 years old now. So some people would say, what are you doing in that house? But I'm fit and strong, so I can do that.
Wow. We all of us were worried about you, but I shouldn't really worry about you. You are a self-contained unit. You know what the hell you're doing. And I'm glad that your house is safe and you're going to get to go back. Congratulations on dodging this bullet, and get on that bike and ride. Get the wind in your face and your hair. Have fun.
Yeah. I so love talking to you.
Thank you so much. And by the way, just for the audience's note, the original Terry David Mulligan was married to Joyce Mulligan, and I just am sort of borrowing the name, and it's worked out pretty well.
It did.
Thank you, Joyce.
Okay, bye-bye.
This special segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. It's been a difficult week for so many in the Okanagan. Our hearts go out to everyone who's been affected by the devastating wildfires, and we want to extend our profound and heartfelt gratitude to the courageous firefighters who've been working tirelessly to protect lives and homes. To show our support, Hillside will be donating 15% of all online sales and 100% of tasting fees to United Way British Columbia from now through August 31st. Our wine shop is open daily from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. for those who are able to visit. We look forward to welcoming you back safely. Details at hillsidewinery.ca.